Greetings and welcome to the Optional Extra two-player podcast, episode 4, in which we break down this week's gaming news as well as what we've been playing. I'm Russell and I'll be your host, and joining me, as it wouldn't be a two-player without him, is Mitchell.
Guten Tag.
So, this week, the news was mostly quiet until
very quiet
today, in which D23, is, I believe, started on Friday, if I'm...
Which stands for...
Disney something?
Oh, yeah, Disney, that makes sense. Makes sense why there's a lot of Star Wars stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think it might be Disney Expo, but I'm not sure how the 23 fits in.
Could be the 23rd one?
I don't think so. I think it's the same every year. Anyway, it was promised a month, I believe it was a month ago, at E3, by Tetsuya Nomura, that Kingdom Hearts footage will be shown with a new world, and they delivered on that promise.
Oh, they did. They definitely did.
So, they opened up with... I thought the opening was the weakest bit, where the footage was awesome. Like, they were showing more of combat we'd seen before, like in the sense of Sora using all these crazy Keyblade combinations, in locations that we've seen before. Orchestral soundtrack, which is cool too. No new soundtrack in the trailer as a whole, but redone versions of old music.
Oh, okay.
But they had text going over the top of every scene in the first bit.
Classic Japanese trailers.
Which is such a mistake, because I'm trying to see the footage and all this text.
No, you look at the words. The words are exciting.
You can't even read the words because they have them excessively large. So it's I don't even know what this is saying. But then they have, they finally show you what the word was saying, and it's basically something about diving into a new world, or the excitement's worth it, or whatever. And then they open up with a very recognizable location. I think it's even just the soccer ball. Just as soon as you see the soccer ball, I'm already I know what this world is.
Yeah.
And then they spin it, and they go, oh, here's Toy Sora, here's Toy Donald, and here's Toy Goofy.
Hey, they're all toys. I didn't notice that initially. I'm like, oh, they're all toys.
Yeah, because Kingdom Hearts is always... Well, not always, but when you go to certain worlds that it only makes sense to change, you change. So, in Kingdom Hearts 2, for example, when you go to Lion King's world, or Pride Lands, I believe it was called, you become a lion. Literally, a little lion.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I'd be a bit confused. Who's this person and how can we eat him?
The humans wouldn't really fit in. So, they only do it when it kind of makes sense. Halloween Town's another one where they get a horror-type aspect to them from Nightmare Before Christmas. So, this one, they become toys and they're... tiny. The world is huge compared to them. So, in case you haven't realized, for the listeners, this is the Toy Story world.
Yes, indeed.
So, you see, Donald Goofy, Heartless, which is the typical bad guy in Kingdom Hearts game, show up, and they go into the combat. And the first thing that's noticeable for Kingdom Hearts fans, or new to this series, is that he gets the Toy Story Keyblade the second he arrives in that world. So, normally how it works in Kingdom Hearts is when you go to a world and you complete it, or seal its keyhole, which is normally what you do, you get a Keyblade at that point. That's reminiscent of that world. Or most of the time you do.
Okay, so it's the themed Keyblade.
Yeah, you get technically, I think it's the keychain, or is the key component that makes the new Keyblade.
Oh, okay.
But ultimately, that's when you get it. This doesn't look like the case anymore. It looks like, because this from this trailer, it was clear that this was the start of this world. This is when they first land in, because they were confused by being toys.
As anyone would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Become a toy.
So, they get the Keyblade instantly. It had, Woody's, little hat on and stuff. But go into combat, do a little fight, and then out pops Woody, Buzz, the aliens, Rex, Mr. Pig. No, I think he's Mr. Pig. What's the pig's name?
Oh, I can't remember his name. For life of me, I haven't seen Toy Story in forever.
Yeah, there wasn't Mr. Hathead, but... It looks spot on. It looks exactly like Pixar.
It looks identical to the Pixar thing, and that's amazing.
You can't even tell the difference. It's literally
I couldn't. You'd put them both up. I'd go, which is weird.
But it's probably even more like the new Toy Story, because I think if you went back to Toy Story 1, it probably doesn't look as good. It
looks better than the Pixar movie.
But I guess it always kind of worked because of how simplistic the designs are, because they are toys. It's not like they're heaps of crazy detail everywhere, so they're always very simplistic color palettes. So, yep, they revealed them. It's in Japanese, so it's always funny.
It's weird seeing
hearing the characters in Japanese.
It's so weird.
I always like listening to Japanese audio, because there's always I'm the super serious character. And then there's, I'm also super serious character. I'm slightly less serious character. And then there's just I'm goofy as hell for some reason.
It's so weird, but it's funny how well it works.
Yeah, it does work, because I always laugh at just like the ridiculous voice, like when Rex has like this like ridiculous reply. It's just funny. So the team joins you. I think it's technically Woody and Buzz who join you as a party members.
They're good too.
Yeah, but
as much as I want Rex.
Kingdom Hearts used to work, but we knew this recently, but Kingdom Hearts used to work by party of three, and then when you go to new worlds, if there's someone from that world to join you, you'd swap them out. So, like, in Kingdom Hearts 1, if you go to Tarzan, Tarzan will join your team, and you take out Donald from your three-team party.
Get out of there, Donald. We want Tarzan.
Exactly. In Kingdom Hearts 3, we've seen, from the earlier trailer, Hercules joined as a fourth party member.
Okay, so there might not be a limit anymore.
And in this trailer, they revealed Buzz and Woody are joining as party members. So that's a team of five.
Jeez.
So that's already like, oh, this is new stuff. They never used to do that. So now they don't take away from your team. Your team is always at least three plus potentially more than two characters.
Well, we'll find out when it's eventually out.
Exactly. So they step outside the window and they go to the roof and then they have like the outside world. And it's so perfect. You see it and just like,
yeah.
The size effects are like, you're on the roof and you're jumping off. And the other thing that's become clear actually is jumping off is that now they have a fall mechanic. So height verticality seems to be a big deal. So when he jumps off at a certain distance, it suddenly enters this like dive, like falling type animation.
Oh yeah. I mean, they did show a lot of falling in that, the Hercules.
The last one, exactly. But it wasn't clear whether that was just for that world or is it a new mechanic? And now I'm like, I don't even question. It is, if you fall from a certain height, whatever that's set to, you will do that falling animation.
Hmm.
So you're taking on, certain Heartless, you know, Heartless normally adapt the world that they're in. So they look toyish, like toy type characters.
Yeah.
But then, Sora deploys, I'm still not sure how it entirely works because, He deploys his Keyblade into a hammer. His hammer turns into like,
yep,
like a Buzz Lightyear hammer thing. The amount of effects going on is nuts. He's just smashing things and blowing things up everywhere. Just effects to glory.
Pretty crazy.
And then he turns the hammer into a drill. And
he starts drilling away.
And once again, the drill looks kind of like Buzz Lightyear's like rocket type thing. From what I can tell, at the very least, there's two transformations per Keyblade. I don't know if there's more. But that's new mechanics. They didn't used to turn into anything.
Okay, so it's a new one in three then.
Yeah, that's definitely a new thing. The other thing I really liked was the drill. He's got animations where he's like drilling under the ground and then popping back up against the
enemies. Yeah, there's some kind of AoE attack.
Yeah, AoE. The one where he it rhymes. I think it was deliberate, but it's the you know, the claw. The aliens say in like Toy Story 1.
Claw.
He like grabs like the big heartless character, and he starts like flinging him around with this claw thing, which looks great. And then they cut to even more new mechanics. I couldn't believe how much footage in this trailer.
There is a lot for this game where they don't like to show much.
So they go to, I think they call it Galaxy Toys or Toy Barn, whatever it was called.
Yeah, it's in Toy Story 2, isn't it?
I think that was Alan's Toy Barn.
Oh yeah, true. So this is a different place.
From what I can tell so far, Kingdom Hearts used to be you go to the world and it's the story of that world. So if you go to Aladdin, the plot of Aladdin happens. You go to Hercules, the plot of Hercules happens. That's not, Hercules is a bad example because that one wasn't quite true. But most of the other ones are the plot of the movie. From what I can tell, that is not the case now. It is its own story for every world you go to.
It did look a bit different in this one.
When they announced Big Hero 6 World, which, God, I don't know how long ago that was. Probably like 3 years ago. Right, probably two, but it was a long time. They said that.
It feels a long time.
They said that is a sequel to that movie. So it is set after the events of that movie and will...
Interesting.
I don't know if they... I don't think they said it's like canon or something, but it is after whatever... Well, I'm not going to spoil that movie, but the outcomes at the end of that movie have happened and it's continuing from there.
Interesting.
So they go to the toy barn or the toy store or whatever, and they start versing these giant robots. And then he gets into the giant robots as like a mech suit, like Titan...
Now he's in a mech!
Like literally like Titanfall stuff. He like climbs inside the mech suit. And then he starts, like, jetpacking around.
That's in first person.
First person mode, which is already new for Kingdom Hearts, with the exception of, like, some minigame type elements they had in the past. And he's, like, jetpacking around and shooting, like, missiles everywhere. And then he's, like, seamlessly jumping out of them and then jumping into the next one and then doing it again.
I'm in another mech, and now I'm in another mech. I got all the mechs.
All new mechanics. I was floored by how much they had to show. I didn't expect it. I'm like, I didn't even think Toy Story. There was three I thought. I was like, Toy Story people were believing it because it had, people have wanted Toy Story since Kingdom Hearts 1, and it was, a cut. There was a summon for Woody and Buzz, and they cut it. So people want it since then, and for whatever reason, they haven't. But I'm glad they waited, because they couldn't have nailed the visual aspect until now. They couldn't have made it look like this.
Yeah, it couldn't have looked like the exact movie.
Yeah.
And to where, like, now, this tech. Had it released probably a few years ago, that probably would have looked a bit iffy if they did it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have looked
as good if as it was. If it was on PS3, it would have... I looked obviously better than what the PS2 could do, but it wouldn't have nailed it like this is. Like, this you can't even tell. It just looks like the movies.
It looks identical. I couldn't tell it.
The other thing you can't tell, but Kingdom Hearts has got a pretty good track record of having the original actors come back. So I'm assuming, yeah, Tom Hanks is going to reprise his role in Woody and the rest of the kind of crew that they have. I think, from Kingdom Hearts in the past, I think they will, but that's not confirmed or anything. That's just me using the past as an example to assume it will.
And the past is usually a good thing to go off, because usually they follow that track record a bit.
But ultimately it comes down to the actor. If, you know, if they don't want to do it, there's only so much influence or force they can do. I'm pretty sure I saw Tom Hanks, he's reprised like Woody for every single like little short they've done for it. I'd be very surprised if they don't.
Probably some really big contract.
Yeah. And then they end with typical Kingdom Hearts stuff. It's like, here's plotty stuff that they're not really explaining, but they're
you're
like,
not going to understand until you play the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure, you know, Kingdom Hearts fans out there, as myself, will be like thinking about what that might mean.
What are they talking about?
Yeah, exactly. But in general, it ends on the, for most other people who don't know anything about Kingdom Hearts, kind of like,
hello.
There's a guy in a black hood and he's talking about heart stuff.
He's saying devious things and I don't know.
But yeah, great. It wasn't Star Wars, which is what I kind of thought it was going to be.
Problem with that is I don't think they could have nailed the look quite as well as Toy Story.
They would have had to change them. But yeah, Toy Story is like the perfect one. I almost want more Pixar films now. I just want more Pixar.
I would love The Incredibles, or that'd be incredible.
That'd be incredible. Yeah. More Pixar films. That's what I'd get out of it.
One quick thing that Kingdom Hearts 3 has been said to be coming out in 2018.
Oh, yes.
Before we move on.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I guess in my head, I always assumed it was coming out in 2018.
You'd hope so.
Because they were building up to this point. I'm like, okay, it's got to have next year as the goal. It must be. But at least...
They spent so much money on it.
At least it's set in stone. That being said, I don't trust Square Enix, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's pushed to 2019.
Like, early 2019, they might release it, like, E3... Like, or maybe PSX would be a bit pushing it, but possible. Yeah, maybe.
But at least the point is they're committing to something, which tells me this is their goal, and it might mean that they might go, you know what, we can't fit in this third world that we can, not third world, but, you know, an extra world, it's not going to fit. So let's just cut it so we can finish the game by this date. But at least they have a goal now.
At least they have a goal set, which means Final Fantasy VII Remake 2019.
And that's one supposed to be in parts too, Kingdom Hearts. Final Fantasy VII. So
I wonder if they're still doing that, but yeah.
That's my feeling too. I'm like, will they not do that now because of how long? But I think
they moved it in-house as well.
Yeah, so. That hopefully means they're fast-tracking it, but who knows where we get in that game?
Who knows? It's like, wouldn't have thought we got a Kingdom Hearts 3 year.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so... Yep, there were great positive news, but there was also negative news. And so unfortunately, Ni No Kuni, which was supposed to come out... Ni No Kuni 2, The Revenant Kingdom, is that right?
Yeah, it sounds right to me.
Yeah. Well, the first one was called Wrath of the White Witch.
Wrath of the White Witch, yeah.
So once again, it's one of those... We put a subtitle in there. So that was supposed to come out October...
November sometime.
Oh, it was November.
Like November 11th?
Okay, early November. Okay, I thought it was end of October, but regardless, that is no longer the release date because, unfortunately, it's been delayed until not too far, I guess, if it was November.
Only a few months.
Yeah, so...
2 months.
Start of January, which is not bad as it could have been, honestly.
No, it couldn't be bad. It's not as bad as, like, it's January 19th, so it's pretty early on.
Yeah.
It's not like 6 months to 8 months. It's like a little pushback. So they can kind of finish it up.
It's one of those ones where when it was being shown, it was like, oh, it's coming out this year. I was like, I don't know. I don't believe it.
I don't believe a single word you're saying.
But on E3, they kept like re-saying, yeah, it's coming out this year. It's happening for sure. And I'm like, I don't know. But if you're confident, maybe.
If you're that confident, it's like, and then now it's like, well, maybe not as confident.
Yeah.
But.
Which is disappointing. Ni No Kuni... It's just one of those it's not old school iGame necessarily, but it has like old school sensibilities and like how it's, it just feels like it plays like an old Final Fantasy, where Final Fantasy games now feel like they're changing, where this feels like it's going to the past, but doing the past well. Also, the art style is like a studio, well, it was literally a Studio Ghibli collaboration in the last game. This one.
And now, but they've already got the art style now, so they know how to do it.
Exactly.
So.
It's kind of like, well, we've worked it out, and we'll just keep using that art style without your collaboration.
Because it's a fantastic art style.
Yeah, it's great. It looks excellent. It's the first one was a very Studio Ghibli type story where it's like kids dealing with problems. And in a very fantastical world.
And spirits and things.
Yeah. So this looks like to be the same kind of idea. Once again, it's children. Well, mostly children, I guess. The main character is a child. And the gameplay here is, it's not turn-based. I think it's
very
not
action-looking.
It's action-looking. I don't think it's hack and slash either. I think it's like some weird in-between where I think you have timed aspects to your attack, but I think you're also controlling these little minion things in the battle as well.
They look like they spawned on the map. They kind of look like Pikmin.
They do look like Pikmin. And in fact, I recall seeing, like, when they're moving, you're moving around the environment, using the creatures literally as Pikmin-type things. It's like, you use them to fly up to an area or build a bridge or, like, cross this thing or whatever. So they're quite similar to Pikmin, and they look like
slavery,
Pikmin.
A big part of Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah. So they were kind of the big announcements, but there are also, well, Kingdom Hearts admittedly was a trailer, but there was so much in it that it was just full of announcements. So there was also a Star Wars trailer.
Yep, which was the new story trailer.
Yeah, for Battlefront.
Yep.
So it was kind of like a behind the scenes half.
So this is what we want the game to be like, kind of the thing developers like to throw out there.
Yeah, so there was a lot of new footage in it, but it also had those behind the scenes, here's them in mocap suits talking about and stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to explain the characters and this is the world it'll be in, and look forward to that.
I don't think there was anything in it that was like a clear indication of stuff we didn't already know. Like, rather, what I mean is shown in the past for the last trailers.
Not really. There was her home world, which has been shown in the past. The only thing I remember seeing that was new was them on board a rebel ship, which they showed a little bit of gameplay with her shooting a rebel.
Ah, yes.
Well, yeah. That doesn't really show
I know that.
Much.
Yeah, I know the scene you're talking about, yeah. That might have been the main, yeah.
Yep. You've got a scene with her with a father. Her is the main character.
It's funny, because when I saw it, in my head I went, Disney are obsessed with like daddy things at the moment and all their films. Like, yeah. The amount of films they've done at the moment that have some connection to like their fathers in some ways, like, ridiculous, in my opinion, for Disney. Yeah. It's always father stuff.
It's kind of the Star Wars thing as well.
It's true. And then it's like, oh, here we go. Oh, we've got to introduce a father. I'm like, oh, come on, everything's got to be a father relevant in some way.
Well, I need a parent, and
but and also what they're selling up how big how important this game is to the Star Wars mythos.
To say how like connected to the canon.
Yeah,
like how important this is, like for like the whole gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. Like, oh, we've got all this to work with. So exciting!
Yeah, they're playing up to be like, this is a must have story, and it's going to be canon. So if we do anything in the future or even the movies, it is going to be. Yeah, this counts. This matters.
It does make me curious how long this will be, because that is so long to work with years-wise.
Yeah.
It's like 20-plus. Like, I'm just trying to have a think.
Wait, so you mean, do you mean length in gameplay or length in, like, story time?
I mean both. Like, they've got a big time period to work with, which connects them both, connects the Return of the Jedi and all the latest one. So they have a lot of time to work with. You just wonder how long the campaign will be.
The other thing they mentioned, which I was going to go in the impression that, okay, she's going to be a character that is part of the Imperial forces, but eventually she realizes she's in the wrong side or whatever, which...
No, I'm pretty sure she said.
Yeah, that's the thing. This trailer, they seem to imply that, no, she knows what she's doing. It's not like she has this, like, hidden version of the Empire or something. It's like, no, she knows what the Empire is and what it does. She just grew up understanding that.
But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the Empire was the government. Yeah. So the rebels were terrorists, so that's what she sees.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of probably too hard for her to see that they're not. Mm. I mean, well, technically they are.
Mm. I'm also interested to see how many, like, canon characters or important characters show up. Like, they've shown Luke. We know Luke's
shown. They've shown Luke. I reckon Han will appear, because it's like, it's Han Solo.
Yeah, and I wonder if they'll make any connections to, like, prequel stuff in some way, where it's like, oh, this character's still alive for some reason.
I mean, this is not many of them would be. Because this is post after Darth Vader hunted and killed them all, pretty much.
Is that canon, though, that Darth Vader killed them all?
Yeah, he hunted down the Jedi.
Yeah, oh yeah, but I mean, but they hunted down the Jedi, and yet there's constant strangles of Jedi still showing up.
Yeah, he did the best job he could.
He found the ones that were on the map, and then the rest kind of went into hiding, and then it was a bit difficult.
It's like, it's too far. I do hope it's good.
Yeah,
I really do.
I can hope. I assume from Dice Track's record, at the very least, you know it's going to be visually amazing.
Oh yeah, it's going to look good. But
and I think from their more recent games, like the Battlefront stories, have gotten significantly better.
Yeah, Battlefield 1 went through a few different.
Yeah, which I mean, campaigns. They've got a whole different writing team for this, so it's not really like Battlefield story is relevant to this.
Yeah, they've like there's three teams working on this, so in my eyes, if they've got a big full team working on just the campaign, it will be a decent length.
Yeah, well, there's hoping. I'm like, we don't want another Force Awakens 2 and it's like 2 hours of gameplay or something.
Oh god, don't remind me of that. I was like, oh, it's the second one and it's over.
I still can't believe how much they dropped the ball in that game. It was like, what?
They just dropped the ball. They kind of lost it.
It must have been they just had had to be fast-tracked for whatever reason. It's like, well, this is what we've got.
Something happened and we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing I saw, similar to the Star Wars had more footage in general, but there was definitely also an inside or making of the Spider-Man PS4 game, which is still, yeah. I think they just still just call it Spider-Man PS4. I don't think it has it more than that.
I think it'll just be called, maybe they'll add like a tagline, but yeah, for the moment, Spider-Man PS4.
My gut feeling is it won't be called Spider-Man PS4, it'll be called Spider-Man, and it'll be exclusive to the PS4.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's not called The Amazing Spider-Man or Spider-Man colon
Spider-Man.
Yeah, just Spider-Man. So this, every time I see this game, so at E3, I was blown away. And then I see this, there's a couple of new scenes in this footage. So there's one bit where he's like stopping a thug in a car and he like smashes through the window and then like he kicks him out and then the car like does a flip and he like grabs the car midair. And I'm just like, the effort they're putting into everything. And what also I really like is that I can understand the gameplay functionality already, because one, I've played previous Spider-Man games, and two, I've played the Batman Arkham games. So
which is what all of them are going to be based
on. So I can see all the systems and I'm like, I love Batman. Like Batman Arkham series is probably one of my favorite series of like video games, at least recent. Like I love Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts, but they're very much older series.
They are.
They'll just take forever to get new stuff, especially Kingdom Hearts. But the Spider-Man, it's like just seeing the elements of what I consider like a really great. It's almost Batman's combat is always like it's almost like a fighting game in itself. It's a hack and it's like a beat 'em up.
It's like a mix, isn't it? They've just found a really good space to be.
Yeah, and the only other game I've played that is similar to it for me is the Shadow of War series.
Shadows of Mordor felt very Arkham.
Yeah, very Arkham, but with the exception of. They overwhelm
sword,
you.
Bow.
They overwhelm you with characters because your abilities are ridiculous in that game. Like you just get
you're cowards. So overpowered.
Yeah. So there's that footage. There's a couple of shots of him swinging, which are so exciting when he's ziplining across the roofs and just swinging across the city. And there's another bit where he's like running up the side of the building.
Yeah, it's so good to see this in a modern city with modern graphics. This is like. This looks so good. I can't wait to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Between this and Kingdom Hearts, I'm like, these are like the most exciting games I have going forward at the moment. they look amazing to me. I'm just like, oh, I'm so excited.
They do look pretty good. Yeah, I'm more excited for Spider-Man, to be honest, but...
Well, Kingdom Hearts has a lot of baggage, admittedly.
Yeah, I do have the collection of 1.5, 2.5. I'll get around to it before 3. I got plenty of time.
It definitely has that problem where they need to make it so... newcomers can pick it up, but I think they can't because they've pushed too much story and it's really hard to pull back
so
on
much
that.
Here, we'll just figure it out.
Yeah,
Spider-Man looks great.
Spider-Man looks good. That was kind of most of the big things. Things
we got a lot out of that. Like,
well, we did actually. That was a fair bit of talking. So in terms of what we've been playing, as I think I mentioned in this podcast, I've been pretty busy this week. So I haven't had time to play anything. Now, I wanted to play Final Fantasy XII, admittedly. I didn't even get that in, so that'll be next
it
week
didn't
at some
even arrive.
That'll be next week at some point.
Mine arrived.
Yes, yours did arrive, but did you play it, Mitchell?
No.
But you did play other Final Fantasy games though.
I did. I played Final Fantasy XIV.
I assume you're still, because of how long that game is, you're still building towards the new expansion, or are you there?
I haven't even unlocked the last expansion.
Oh, okay.
You have to complete the whole previous game. I only got that game started last year, then I played it for about 130 hours, and then I think something distracted me.
That already sounds like a hell of a lot of time.
And yeah, I'm still like 30 hours off the main storyline being completed.
That game just sounds excessively big, but MMOs are like that. So
there is so much in this game. Like, there's so many regions, there's so many things you need to know. I play World of Warcraft for like 10 years, and there's stuff in this that I've like, you have to get your head around of how much stuff you can actually do in it, because you got all these kind of like, you got the main storyline, all the side quests, obviously, then you've got all these other features that kind of tie into it.
I assume you're not switching characters off.
In Final Fantasy XIV, you can be, pretty much, your character can be every class.
Ah, okay.
You just have to unlock it and swap, so there's no real need for alts. So I've been kind of trying every single class out, because it's so cool to have it under one character, whereas, like, WoW, I had, like, 11 other characters.
Yeah, different characters. I assume you can't be the new DLC until you, well, not, it's not DLC, the new expansion, I guess, until you get there. Even though... Okay, yeah,
that's
cool.
You just have to have it, because they start at level 52, which is the original Axe level, but I'm thinking you have to already have a level 50 character to do so.
Right.
Which I do have, which was the original Axe level.
Okay, yeah.
So I have played the Red Mage and the Samurai. Both are cool.
Do they... I'm not the biggest MMO player, but do they offer, like, new mechanics, or is it more just, like, different abilities?
Well, they all have different mechanics and different abilities, which kind of tie into how they work.
Right, okay.
Like, I didn't really understand the samurai yet. There's all these glyphs, and they somehow tie together, and the red mage is kind of like a mix of ranged and melee combat.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's kind of how the red mage normally works.
That is how the red mage works, and it's definitely cool, because you kind of swap between close range and casting spells, and it's pretty nifty.
Right, yeah. Okay, so the game I've been playing in my... in the time between I'm getting home after my late shifts this week was... playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. Now, this is a Konami game, first off. So, Konami already has a questionable track record recently.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, mostly pretty questionable. So, when I started playing this game, which was a couple of weeks ago, I was already weary of what it might be. Like, you know, nickel and diming you for everything and restricting, like, all the you know, extra content or whatever. But I gotta say... this game is probably the best Yu-Gi-Oh! Game I've played.
I've played a Game Boy version years ago. I had two different ones. One of them was good, one of them wasn't. So I'm kind of interested to hear what you have to say about it.
I played like when Yu-Gi-Oh! Changed their format. So I had Duelist of Roses was like, you had like a grid system. So you like moved your cards along this grid.
That's not Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, so they changed it. I still liked it, but it was different. Capsule Duel Monsters, which you used like these little capsule monster things and you transform them into the creatures and they kind of battled like... it almost looked like a chessboard type game.
Interesting.
And then I've also played the Classic, which essentially was just a digital version of the main, you know, the actual physical game.
The actual card game, yeah.
Yeah, but the Duel Links is a streamlined fast-track version of the physical card game. Oh. So they cut down the life points in half. They make the grid smaller. So Yu-Gi-Oh! Is normally five spaces for magic and monsters and magic and traps. They're the same grid. In this, they cut it to three. So you have less space. And your deck is also cut in half. So I believe the minimum for normal Yu-Gi-Oh! Is 40 cards for a deck. And for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, it's 20. So it's also a lot smaller. So the games, it understands the market where it's like, you don't want to be sitting there playing like 15 matches all the time, 15 minute matches. It's some of these matches can go for like potentially like 2 minutes because you're like get the right monsters on the right turn. You just set up a combo that does a crazy amount of damage and because they're half the life points, you win in one turn.
Jesus, that's really fast.
And the other awesome thing, and I do say awesome, is they have voice over dialogue for every single one of the characters. So you can play different characters. They are the original anime characters.
Oh, wow. Just Dark Magician and stuff.
Yeah. So, usually, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Kaiba, Weevil, Pegasus, all of them the same. Original voice actors from the anime.
Wow. I'm actually almost interested now.
I think the only one I noticed that isn't from the ones I have was Mai. The new voice is pretty similar, but it doesn't remind me of the original.
It might be a bit different.
Oh, right.
Meh. Oh, that's funny. Ha ha, puns.
But all the other ones, exactly as I remember them. Joey with his ridiculous, like, New Yorker type accent or New something.
It's like Boston.
Yeah, it's probably more Boston. I don't know my American geology that well.
Geology or...
a geography, a geology.
I don't know my American rocks.
But yeah, in general, that's what I've been playing this week. And pretty much a lot this week. I'm probably like 2 hours or so a day. It's pulling me away from Hearthstone. I need to get back into Hearthstone.
Stop it, Yu-Gi-Oh! But yeah, the other thing I've been playing is Diablo 3. Again, been playing hardcore.
So, hardcore...
If you die, you're permanently dead.
Okay, yep, yeah, that's what I thought.
So yeah, finish that today, hit level 70.
How stressful is it, hardcore?
Reaper of Souls has made it a lot easier than it used to be. There have been a few, oh shit, I'm going to die moments. Like, I'm playing the wizard, so I teleported twice, which is an ability you get. And I got stuck in a fence. Then all these enemies just appeared around me. And I was like, I'm going to die. And I had to use my healing potion, and I was just praying that teleport comes back. Otherwise, I'm not going to survive.
I guess that's like... I guess hardcore is better in that way, where it's like everything matters as opposed to...
everything does. And
in the more game, you're like, ah, die, just come back and pick up my stuff.
It's fine. Anyway. Yeah, almost... Well, I was playing with Jordan, and he almost got one shot by the Skeleton King. He got half hit. I was like, God. He's playing a Demon Hunter.
When you saw Jordan die, does that mean he's dead?
I didn't see him die. I saw him almost get killed. Which is hilarious.
Sorry, yeah.
If he died, he was completely out. But yeah, through that boss, I was just standing in front of him, just attacking him, because I just could do it, and he gets hit once. It's like, oh shit.
Is that because he was underleveled, or
his gear wasn't as good as mine? I could actually heal through it for some reason.
But I guess Necromancer is like brought you back to playing Diablo again.
Oh yeah, it's definitely done that. I got one of those level 70. Still an awesome class. Still love it. I still like all the old classes. Like playing a wizard again was my first class.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice playing that again. I understand it pretty well. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. A bit of Final Fantasy 14 and Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
So, next week, there's, I believe, two biggish things. One of them is admittedly the big thing, and the other one's just kind of something I'm interested in.
But it's okay. We're allowed. It's our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So, Super Hot VR, which... I'm not sure when that came out on Steam. A while ago, it seems like.
A long time ago. It was last year, that's for sure.
It definitely was last year, but I think it might have even been like halfway through last year or
it
something.
Was early
it was
last
like,
year. I remember playing it.
It feels like a long time ago.
Really fun game.
Finally coming to PlayStation 4, and it's also coming to PlayStation VR at the same time.
That's so cool.
I got a VR headset, and I'm looking forward to see how cool the VR component is.
It'll be so much cooler in VR. It'll be like playing The Matrix.
And the art style, the other thing is, like, the art style matters so much in VR, because if you go realistic or high detail graphic requirements, they often look bad.
I say the only one that I felt achieved that was Eve Valkyrie on my Oculus. That looked kind of cool, like realistic, but...
Yeah, I like it when it's, like, a cartoony style that just works better. Like, if it doesn't have a huge graphical requirement, all the objects are simplified, it seems to just look better to the eyes.
Yeah, so Super Hot now has a really good look to it. It's very simplistic, but really
stylized.
Nice. Stylized is what I would use.
Right. And the other big one, and definitely the biggest one, is Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 2. Yes, didn't play the last one, so I'd play this one.
Oh, so you haven't played the last one, but obviously you've seen
of the last one. But yeah. Yeah, I'm glad the sequel's out, coming for Switch.
No. I also didn't play the last one, mostly because it seemed like the multiplayer component was the main thing, and I'm not the biggest multiplayer guy in general. But I did hear good things about the single-player campaign.
Yeah, I do like a single-player campaign.
Yeah, so I think I remember calling it was short, but it had unique ideas in it that weren't present in the multiplayer. Utilized all the mechanics the game can actually do.
It's always a good thing where it can teach you about the multiplayer when you play the campaign.
Yeah, so I believe Splatoon 2 now has the single player mode, which it always did. I think it's got a co-op like horde type mode, I believe.
Yeah, it's called Salmon Run?
I think, yeah, that sounds right.
It rings a bell, whereas it's horde mode.
Yeah, it's horde mode.
Yep.
And then the usual multiplayer stuff, which...
control the map, paint thing.
Right, and the Switch is not using... It's not paid yet for online, is it?
No, that doesn't happen until next year now.
Yeah,
it was
pushed. Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Push back.
I guess it's just free in the meantime, so you can play as much Splatoon as you can.
It's free.
Yeah.
Play it while you can before you want to have to pay for it. I'm going to be reviewing Splatoon 2 as well.
So look forward to a new review from us for the Splatoon 2.
Yes. I cannot say what score it will be yet, as I haven't played it. I anticipate it to be decent.
It looks good.
I love the art style of it. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. If there's a... I don't think it's going to be like ARMS, where ARMS seemed very limited in content. I think...
ARMS was. I haven't actually gone back to playing ARMS.
Yeah, where Splatoon, from what I can tell, at least there's some extra stuff in there that seems meaty enough to maybe make it worthwhile, even if you don't get into the multiplayer.
Yeah, it looks like a bigger game because sequels normally are.
Yes, and with that, I'll wrap this up. So we have been Optional Extra.
Yes, we have.
You can find us at optional-extra.com, as well as the corresponding links on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes.
The whole internet. You can find us on there.
We'll be out there somewhere in the great beyond.
And there we will.
And with that, I say thanks for listening and goodbye.